These are all from mainly the Gospel Coalition. They had a few articles on education. So let's get started. Education, choices, wisdom, and charity. And, you know, really what I want to discuss is, what are the options out there? The pros and cons from each one. You know, what's available and what is the right choice? So before we begin, let's go to the Lord and pray. Father, we do thank you for this time that you bring your people together. I pray that this seminar and these sessions may be a blessing to each and every one of us, O Lord. That we may apply what we learn from you and from your precious word, and just how to apply in decision making in all aspects of our lives, in the worldview, in the education of our children, and how do we instruct and teach when it comes to the internet or screen time and all these sessions that we are having, that it may be a blessing for each and every one of us, Lord, that we may gain knowledge and wisdom into how to apply what we learn in our lives and in our homes. For it is in Christ Jesus that we come to you and we ask these things. Amen. So really what I'm going to do is kind of lead a discussion. So, three choices. Andy, did you go to public school, Christian school, or homeschool?
I went to public school.
You went to public school?
In a town of 2,000.
In a town of 2,000. Very small. Priscilla, I'll answer for her. Public school. Myself, public school. Tendai?
I started off in Christian school at a Catholic school not too far from U of H. So Catholic school and then eventually into public school.
Okay.
So.
Okay. So public school, we're all familiar with public school. You're familiar with homeschooling now with your children, Tendai, as well. So first, before we consider the three options, what option do we choose? Well, obviously, before opening the discussion, we have to, and I believe it's important to remember that the church is united by faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, not by agreement on the best approach to education for our children. Regardless of what we choose, what system we choose, that's not the point. One of the worries, and this comes from the article, is whenever people visit a church and every family has chosen the same educational path, whether it be an exclusivity homeschool family church, a Christian school clique, or a public school involvement. Bible-believing Christians can and do come to different conclusions on this matter. But our differences should not preclude good and open conversations. Whichever option you choose, you will be served well by people who disagree with you, who point out the weaknesses to your approach. That way, we can acknowledge the strengths and weaknesses of each and then seek to minimize whatever weaknesses our approach entails. One of the things that we'll see is if you go to a church that's mainly private school, you feel like you have to put your children through private school. If most of the families are homeschooled, well, maybe I should homeschool. And again, there's nothing wrong with any of the three choices, but we have to be wise in how we do it. And we'll open it up for discussion as we go along. So what do we do with our children? Well, we have to separate the education from our children with the instruction of the Lord that each and every single one of us has towards our children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9. This is for us as parents in regards to our children. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. So is it the duty of a homeschooler, is it the duty of a public school, or is it the duty of a Christian school to instruct your children in the way of the Lord? Is it the duty of the church? No. It's the duty of who? The parents. It's your duty. You've been commanded to do this. So right off the bat, regardless of the situation, regardless of the choice that you make, when it comes to the instruction and the discipline in the Lord of your children, it's you. Fallacy that we'll see in a little bit from one of the examples is, if you send your kid to a public school, by default, you know that that's very secular. So the parent that sends their children to a public school, they tend to emphasize more on the aspects of discipline of the Lord and being in fear of the Lord, because you know they're not going to get it in the public school. On the homeschool, it's engraved. It's part of their life for the Christian. But one of the fallacies, or at least one of the problems, one of the cons, the example gives of the private school is what? Well, it's a private school. It's a Christian school. They'll take care of all that. And what happens to the parent? They become lax in the teaching. I mean, we'll see it even with church, right? Well, the church will teach my children for the most part. But it's really, they're just really talking about what they've already been taught at home. At least that's the expectation that we should have. So what we'll do for the next time is let's kind of dissect and have an open discussion, pros and cons of each system. Option number one is public school system. I think everybody in here is familiar with the public school system, how it works. Obviously, when you were growing up, Andy, it's much different than when Tendai was growing up and what he faced, than what I faced, than what Priscilla's facing, than what my 7-year-old or even my 12-year-old are facing. Christy, I asked everybody what kind of education they had. All of us mainly have public education. Public education, okay? So we're all familiar with what it offers and what it does not offer. So here's one example. This is just a gentleman. Troy Temple makes a case for considering public schooling. He does not believe parents should send their children there as missionaries. Now, that's one of the fallacies that I had early on. It's, well, my children are believers, or at least they know about Christ. They need to be in public school so that they can present the gospel and share the gospel. Well, that's not really the case. If they do share it, that's great, but I should not approach the public school system that way. I should approach it really more just for their education, not so much to be missionaries. Will they be missionaries and evangelize? Maybe. But that should not be the case that I send them there. That's not the point. Though some speak that way, neither does he believe public schooling should be required of all Christians. But he does believe public schooling in places where teachers are at least respectful to Christianity is a legitimate option. Unfortunately, nowadays, you might have some teachers that are Christians and are respectful of your faith. But in my conversation with my children, and I have 3 that have been through public school, not many are receptive to the Christian faith. You know, I've had one teacher say, why does the reading assignment for one of your children is always the Bible or Bible stories? You know, change it up a bit. Well, we change it up a bit, but he's still going to read the Bible. Or in other instances where the majority of your classmates are okay with abortion, and if the one individual says, no, I don't agree, it's wrong, it really shocks everybody because that is the norm in a public school, in a secular education. So the case for public education. The Christian family has opportunities to serve the school and be involved in the lives of the lost. In a sense, yes, not so much the children, but I think there is an opportunity. For example, Betty, she's involved with the PTA. And so there is an opportunity there to share the gospel with them. Or the problem, though, is that over 90% of the parents do not get involved in their children's education when it comes to public school. And not everybody that gets involved is a believer anyway. So it's a tall ladder to climb when it comes to the public education. Is it prime for us to go and be able to speak the gospel to these people? It is, but it's very very difficult. But one of the cases for, at least from this article, was that, hey, there is an opportunity to go. One of the things that one of my kids, 12-year-old, is learning, at least that she brought home, is, Dad, I'm meeting people that say that they're Christian, but they're not our type of Christian. Well, what do you mean? I forget, but their Christianity, it starts with a P. You know, what do you mean? I go, they're Pentecostal. So that opened the door for me to explain what Pentecostals and Pentecostals do in the charismatic movement within the Christian church. Well, what about these other people that don't even believe that Jesus is God? So one thing, and that comes back to the parents, is we have to be very engaged with our children in the public school. That no matter what is being asked, no matter what kind of questions pop up to them, that the parents are very engaged, and that our Christian worldview is engraved in our children, that when they go out there and get challenged, whether they're 18, 12, or 7, they come back home and say, wow, that's a different perspective than what we believe. Yes, it is, but this is what we believe, and as we read Scripture, we are confident that the Lord is working in their lives and in their hearts, that they are able to differentiate false from truthfulness. So that's one case. The Christian family has the opportunity to be a witness in conversation and communication. Now, obviously, that's kind of a big problem I see for a 7-year-old. And when it comes to a public school, it depends on where you send them. A teacher will pretty much really confuse a 7-year-old when it comes to faith. They would question everything. But for the parents, if the parents are engaged, and I can't stress this enough, it would be dangerous, more dangerous, if the parents are not engaged with what their children are learning, what they're being taught, being engaged, knowing the teacher, knowing the principal. And unfortunately, many parents are not able to get engaged in public school system. Most likely, if a person sends their kids to a public school, it could be many cases. One of them, single parent. That pretty much, for me, automatically means that they work and they can't get involved. It's a blessing when one parent works and the other one is able to stay home and get involved. But at the same time, what other choice does a single parent have? They can't homeschool. Most likely they can't afford a Christian education. And so they have to send their children to a public school. And as a single parent has to struggle and train and teach their children in the fear of the Lord, I think in some aspect that's where the church will come in and help as well, where we can help, but that parent is involved in defining the worldview for that individual. The case against, well, there's obviously a lot more, but let me open it up for you guys. Anything else that you might see positive for a public school education?
One of them is to be exposed to different people in different religions. That way, growing up, you're already used to them, and continuously growing in your spiritual life, you can have a more loving approach to when presenting the gospel to different religions. You have a little bit more experience with different people. That's a pro of going to public school.
That's a pro, okay. Understanding the audience. You know, we just heard Corey and Malcolm talk about the racial divide. And obviously, where Malcolm is right now in his ministry in, I forgot the name of the, South Park?
South Park.
It's easier for him because he can relate to the culture and the people that are there than it would be for Andy, myself, or even Tendai because of how we grew up in that culture. Okay. For somebody that grows up in a public school and gets exposed to, let's say, for instance, for myself, gangs, it's easy for me to approach a gang member. It would be more difficult for somebody that's not exposed to that. Mm-hmm. And I think we see that with Scripture. People that were familiar with the Jewish customs, people that were familiar with the Gentiles as well. And so you get to relate more. And with that social aspect that you get in the public school system, I think you become more accessible to be able to talk to different groups of people. At least I see that with my experience. I don't know about you guys, Tendai.
I would probably say that would be the only positive for me, is that social aspect of public school. There's so many other things that are detrimental.
Correct.
So many other things that are detrimental.
Right.
I have a question. What my son's in public school and he's in fourth grade, and one of the main positive things that I've seen is the way he's challenged. Like, if he wants to be like an extracurricular activity, like his grades have to be high and he has to like write essays and he has to be like one of the top students. So I'm kind of worried, like, if we do homeschool him, like, where can we challenge him to where like he is in competition with, I don't know.
Yeah, and that would be some of the cons as we get to homeschooling. Is homeschooling can be great, but you know, there's a fear for a lot of parents is I'm not equipped. And we'll talk about, well, you may not even be equipped to teach calculus, but as you join a community of co-ops, as you get involved, there are some opportunities like that as well. The Christian school as well, they'll do all that curriculum. But I see what you're saying, that when you first go for homeschooling, there is that fear. Andy?
Yeah, because we live in the Houston area, there's a lot of resources and groups that you might be able to find that would be able to challenge it. It would be tougher, I think, in a smaller community. But because of Houston, you know, we can help you point you to some different groups that might help if you decide to do that.
And that's why we're going over this. What would be the best fit for your family? Because, I mean, this session, it's not about promoting one over the other. It's more about these are the options, and these, honestly, just the pros and cons as we discuss. Go ahead, Andy.
Yeah, I would add one more pro for that is I think it's a healthy thing for children to learn to respect others in authority.
You mean in the public
education? Yeah, in the public school, public education. I think it's good for children to get taught by someone else. There's value in that, is what I'm saying. There's value in the children learning to respect other adults, you know, respecting other people, something that they sometimes might not get in homeschooling.
Okay.
Is that aspect of getting taught by other adults and learning to respect them.
Getting taught by other adults.
When you're only taught by your parent, sometimes I think there could be a tendency, if you're not careful, where they're not necessarily respectful of other adults, adults teaching them, other adults in authority.
Okay.
Sometimes they
lose that value that all adults should be respected.
If you're not careful.
If you're not careful. Okay. Here are a few of the case against public school. And I think this list is probably longer than the case for. But the secular worldview of the public school system distorts the goals of education and excludes value judgments that are important part of education. Should Christian families allow 30% of their children's waking hours be an environment that is implicitly anti-Christian? Well, that's one of the main concerns, right? Is you're pretty much entrusting your child 8 hours, and it could be, not all the cases, in junior high or in high school, to be in front of 6-7 different educators, and they could all be secular, and they could all challenge your faith. Oh, and not only that, but now also in a secular worldview, it's not only the educators but the fellow classmates. In junior high, my 12-year-old is, not, I don't want to say being introduced, but she's understanding now how many people in her school are so easily engaged in vulgar conversations. dad, why are they talking that way? Why are the girls talking that way? Well, it's sin. It is all around us. It's not just the boys. And by the way, it's not just adults. It is children. So she's being exposed to that foul language. And in elementary school, I'm pretty sure that was there, but it never dawned on them until now. There's that realization. Okay. It is not necessary for the Christian family to partner with the public school in order to fulfill the Great Commission. That's another case against it. Parents must be engaged, and unfortunately, many are completely absent from their children's public education. And I was alluding to that earlier. It is unfortunate. The parents have to be engaged in what their children is being taught in the public school system. But unfortunately, many parents do not get engaged, and whatever they learn in school is it. There's nothing being taught in the home. There's no scripture being taught in their home. And that's just a recipe for disaster in how that child is going to be raised and educated. If the discipline, if the fear of the Lord is not taught at home, if the Christian worldview is not instilled in them, then that secular teaching that they're receiving will really start to tickle their ears and lean towards that way if they are not really grounded in what's going on in the home. What else? Those are the cases for and against public school. You know, for my experience, I've never been homeschooled. I've never been to a private school, so I can't say what would that have taught me or what am I lacking, but I think the social aspect to be able to engage people of different backgrounds and really relate to all kinds of people is a big plus, and not fearing the unknown. I'll go back to what Malcolm was saying. I could definitely relate and engage in that environment, I believe, easier because that's the environment that I grew up in. Now, maybe it's the environment that I grew up in. It's not so much the education, but it's just part of the environment. Okay. Anything else on the public school system?
For the public school system, I mean, your classes are built on kids passing the test.
Yeah.
That's a detriment.
That is a detriment.
Your kids realize that I'm only in school just to pass this test. And once that test is over, you know, what's the point of me being in this building?
Right.
Okay. Kids know that. Parents know that. Teachers know. Right. Teachers' jobs are based on, you know, kids doing well on the test. That's a problem. The lack of consequences, that's a detriment. And then also kids being, you know, being held accountable for mistakes that they made or wrongdoings, you know, the lack of consequence is seriously an issue, and the lack of respecting authority.
Yeah.
They do go to school to recognize that there are different levels of authority, but those kids ignore those different levels of authority. I mean, just because you're an adult, just to a kid nowadays, just because you're an adult doesn't necessarily mean I have to respect you. Mm-hmm. I barely respect my parents. I'm going to respect a stranger. Mm-hmm. So you deal with those issues, you know, 5 days a week, seven different classes.
Yeah.
And those become really big issues after
that. And, but is, does that have a big play or part because of what's going on in the home?
Yes.
And not so much the actual public school, but it's because it's from the home, there is no discipline.
From the home, there is no discipline, because...
I mean, you teach public school.
I teach.
Can you tell a child that comes from an organized, disciplined, loving home and a broken home on the child instantly?
Immediately. Just, and just in the level of how that kid talks to his own parents, automatically on top, I know who wears the pants in this family, and who doesn't. Mm-hmm. Immediately. And just in people's, and just in kids' dialogue in general, you can figure out, oh yeah, you have no structure at your house.
Yeah.
versus someone who does. And it's starting to get to the point where it's you see more and more of kids who don't have structure at home.
Right.
Parents who are reliving their 20s, because I had a kid early in life and I didn't get a chance to enjoy my 20s. And now I'm trying to relive that time frame from 21 to 25. I'm trying to relive those glory years. You can't. You have a kid that's in eighth grade. Those days for you, those days are gone.
No, it's you know, when I was in high school or junior high, I remember, I won't say how, what's the percentage. I just know that the people that I knew, the majority came from homes that it was really grandma and grandpa taking care of them. Mom and dad were out of the picture, lost, in jail, or something. It was, where do you stay with grandma and grandpa? Go to another house, it's just grandma and grandpa. And it was just the norm. And you could tell how the kids were reacting. But yet, now, especially in it depends on the school, and what you could tell when the parents are engaged, that they're better behaved. They take education more seriously than before. That's not to say that just because they come from a good home, they still, they're all sinners. But yet, you'll see that in the Christian schools, and you'll see that a lot in the homeschool, because it's in their nature. We just have to be careful to think that one choice, it's really going to help our children and their sinful behavior over the other. But let's continue. Priscilla, you had something?
Another con I would say is that if they're growing up in elementary school or even early middle school, and the parent is so continuously in Bible studies and family devotions, it's very easy to confuse a child when they go to elementary school and they can just forget about everything that they were taught the night before. So elementary school can kind of confuse what they believe in. Mom and dad are telling me this, but I'm here spending 8 hours with this same person telling me something else. So I think that would be a con with the influence that teachers have on the students.
Okay. All right. Option two. So we talked about public schools, pros and cons. Option two is Christian schools, a Christian education and parochial school. The case four, here are a few points. Education is unavoidably theological, and a Christian school provides a biblical framework that builds God-centered purpose into every part of life. And point number two, Christian teachers serve as partners with Christian parents to instruct children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Point number three, a Christian school trains children to identify, analyze, and critique unbiblical worldviews, and we appreciate the Christian worldview our children are taught. What other cases for Christian schools can you think of? The case four.
If you have finances, you can go to those schools.
The case four, if you have the finances, you would want to send them to a Christian school over a public school?
Right, because you feel that the education is going to be better in a Christian school than it would be in a public school.
Okay.
Public schools are dumbed down.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, just a better well-rounded, as Tyndale was saying earlier, because of the testing. I mean, I can speak to this in the elementary school. Very few students even learn anything about our country, because social studies, any kind of history or social studies, is ignored basically because everybody's trying to pass math and reading tests. So, yeah, a better, well-rounded education
over the public school
is going to be in the private school, because they're not accountable to the state tests.
Okay.
Private schools are more structured and disciplined. For example, with David Argelon, he would have to wear a uniform and have a groomed face, shaved. So they have more of a, like, you're supposed to look good, and be presentable. They have more of a structure for children.
Okay. more structure in private school over public education in general. There are some public schools that way, but...
Some, but few and far between.
Far,
also,
yeah.
With a private school, you're not going to deal with that very many discipline issues.
Okay.
Because you're paying to go to the school. It's real easy for us to continue to just take your money and you can go. It's real easy for us to get rid of you because you're affecting the learning environment because of your shenanigans.
Okay.
And so I can dismiss you at any time I want. In a public school, you cannot do that.
Right.
That kid would go outside the hallway or go to ISS for a couple of days or go to alternative school. That kid's coming back. Mm-hmm. And when he comes back, he or she comes back, they're locked and loaded. They're going to continue to disrupt the learning environment.
Yeah.
You can't do that in a private school. They have the ability to kick you out.
And one of the fallacies of the public school system is a child is the source of income. And that's why they harp on them not missing school because they lose. It's unfortunate, but they care about your attendance for financial purposes, not so much the education. And now they even get the law involved.
So, yes.
You
so
get a letter as well, right?
Well, somewhere, so a principal will drive to your house, yank your kid out of class, and bring them to school so they can meet that second period attendance, fifth period attendance. I have seen that done way too many times.
So one of the things that a Christian school has in common with a home school is you control the education, and it comes from a Christian worldview, not so much of a secular worldview. The case against. Well, before I read the case against, I want to hear what you guys think first. The case against Christian school, private school. What are your guys' take on that? The case against private school. It costs too much. The single parent cannot afford it. So if the other two options are not available and this is the option and it's too expensive, what do you do? Do not educate your children. So expense is definitely one of them.
I had an opportunity to go to private school. The only reason why I did not go, I got a scholarship to go to Straight Jesuit, which is probably one of the top three schools in this city.
Mm.
It's a boys' preparatory school, but the only reason why I did not go is, and I got scholarships to play football and run track, but at the end of the day, my dad had to pay the rest of the tuition for me to go on a year-to-year basis, and it was just too expensive for him to do so.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason why I did not go to Straight Jesuit. It cost too much.
Yeah, it cost too much. So the cost is one of them. One of the points here is Christian schools create a huddle mentality and can isolate children from opportunities to interact with unbelievers in the world.
Which, I mean, it's safe to say that there's going to be unbelievers in a private school, but most of them are going to come from a Christian home having the same ideas of God or similar ideas.
Yes, but there's actually cases now that even the secular will send their children to a Christian school because of the better education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in fact, the interaction with people there, it may not be so bluntly as a public school, but there are many different kids in there that are not trained up in admonition of the Lord. And they are interacting with unbelieving children that the parents just take them there just for the simple education and pay that money. But they themselves are not Christian.
Just to say, oh yeah, my kid's going to a private school.
So
but the parents aren't involved.
Yeah. To think that they are safe there, it would be a fallacy in that thought process from the parents.
There's a lack of diversity, and not necessarily ethnicity, but socioeconomic diversity in a private school. I mean, everybody's going to at least have some means, so you're only going to be around other kids of means, essentially.
Yeah. You're right. Good. Here's another case against. Christian schooling is not as efficient as homeschooling, and teachers can never replace parents as the primary educators. And that's more of a case for homeschooling over private school. That nobody's really going to care for your child as a parent can. The educator is just not there when it comes to understanding the children. Christian schools do not necessarily do a better job than public school when it comes to academics. And that is true. There are some public schools that actually do better than private schools. It all depends on the school district, the schools, the principal, the teachers involved, the parents that get involved. I've noticed a major difference in the school that I went to in the school district in Los Angeles with the school district in Clear Creek Independent School District, that a lot of the children, the parents, work for NASA. It's just in that area. And they are very involved, and they love the science and mathematics. And that will, that public education will trump any kind of private education that I would have ever seen in Southern Los Angeles. They were private, but yet they were in an area that the means were just not there. So in that sense, in this scenario, I think that public education is better. And even then, in that school, I don't see the big divide on the gap of social status. Because obviously, if they're in that school, they live in the area, and the area, for the most part, it's all the same. It's really when you get into the inner schools that you see just a lower, a bigger divide. The case against. Obviously, the expense, we are paying for the Christian school. And so here's one of the things that we kind of touched on earlier. We're paying for the Christian school, so we don't have to be as careful or intentional or involved as public school or homeschool parents. The homeschool parent is definitely very involved. The public school, a lot of parents are not involved, but there is a way to get involved with PTA, as we were talking earlier. One of the things with the Christian school is they become lax, as we were talking earlier. It's a Christian school. They're Christian educators. I really don't have to do my part. And I really relate that with church, where we have to be careful as parents to let the church do all the teaching for our children, when in fact it should be in our homes, and teach them our worldview, our Christian worldview, when they come to church and kind of really just go over what they've already been learning in their home. So we have to be careful, or at least the Christian schools have to be careful, where they're not getting involved. They take it for granted. And most parents feel like they're off the hook of teaching their children the Bible. Again, no different than in church. We're off the hook. We do catechism. We have Sunday morning Bible school. We're not going to do much at home. And so with the Christian school, that could be a problem as well. They got their Bible. They got their Christian education in the Christian school. That's all they need. That's enough. And it really doesn't come from the parents. So now their number one source, what we've read from Deuteronomy, that it's your responsibility as a parent. Well, now they've delegated that to a bunch of different educators out there. The other thing we talked about, I made a point here, is obviously there's a lot of secular children in the Christian schools. So many are full to think that, well, they're with other believers. Well, no. From my own experience, when I went to college, some of the wildest girls came from private school, more than public education. And at least now, or even at that time, analyzing what was going on, is they felt that they were bound at home in the homeschool or in the private school, and now they're free to do whatever they want. I mean, they're bound by sin, but in their minds, they were free, and they were the wildest people. They were the ones that, wow, even that guy that's secular wouldn't do that, but here you are being the light of the party in all the wrong ways. And they all, I want to say they all, but I was able to tell and ask the question, and they came from private schools, whether it be Catholic, whether it be Christian. So that's one of the things there as well. We as parents are ultimately responsible for the discipleship of our children, not those educators. They are there to educate your children, to prepare them for life. But when it comes to the discipline and admonition of the Lord, it's our responsibility as parents. Any thoughts or comments or questions on private school before we go on to option number three? Any other cases for or against? I'm not sure we have anybody here with that much of experience in that.
Well, Andy? My wife, I think she would tell you she grew up in private school, with the exception of, I think, 1 or 2 years of her schooling. I think she would tell you she's very thankful for it. She she had a good experience in it.
Okay.
She's very grateful.
Did she mention why?
I'm not sure why. I'm not sure what she would tell you on why, but her experience was very good. That's the church she grew up. The church she grew up in. What the school was right there. The same church and school.
Okay. Good experience.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, another pro is that they're privately funded, so they don't have a lot of regulations that the state would have. There's more. You can be more involved. The teachers can be more involved with the student. That causes somewhat of a better education. I don't know if that was already a point that was made.
Okay. They don't have to worry much about a lawsuit or something. I mean, they do in a sense, but you're right. I think the public school educators are a little bit more restricted. Andy and Tenda could probably allude to that as being educators in a public school. Mm-hmm. Andy, you educated both. Did you not? Were you not a private school educator at one point
yes,
as well?
I was. I worked for 9 years in the private school sector, and now 15 years in the public school. So.
What are some of the differences when it came to flexibility or freedoms of teaching or not teaching?
Well, you definitely have more. I felt like I had definitely more freedom to share the gospel, of course, in the private Christian school. Mm-hmm. It was a Christian, outwardly Christian school where mm-hmm. they learned scripture every month and. Mm-hmm. Part of the interview process for me to even be a teacher was checking on my personal testimony.
I'm curious on discipline.
He wanted to make sure that I would, be an example for those kids.
Yes.
So he, they really grilled me on my personal testimony and different things of my Christian walk. So definitely I had. Was very more open, more. I try to find ways in the public school to give the gospel to my kids and share with them what is right and all that. But I didn't have to be careful like that in the Christian school. I'm just very open about
faith,
talking about Christ.
Okay, what about discipline? When it came to discipline of a child or correction?
Yeah.
It seems that public school, you're a little bit more reserved because of fear of maybe you're doing it wrong or said the wrong thing.
I don't see the huge difference that maybe Tendai might, because my experience in the public school is in elementary level, and I don't see some of the craziness that you might see in middle and high school. I see some of it. So I didn't see a huge difference in the kids, I guess, from going from Christian school to public school, just because I'm at the elementary level. I probably actually saw more troubles in the Christian high school than I do in elementary public school.
But your approach to discipline or correction was no different? Because of fear of discipline?
Yeah, the approach is different.
Okay.
I'm
just curious.
I would definitely be more apt to share Christ and, you need Christ in the Christian high school.
Yeah.
I would almost... it was a little bit different mindset. I almost expected them to... And maybe that was a wrong expectation of me, but here are kids that are professing to be Christians... And you're doing this, what's going on? And I would openly talk about that to them and relate it back to Christ and the gospel.
Yeah.
Whereas when I discipline in public school, you got to be a little more careful. You can't necessarily just flat out give them the gospel when you're disciplining. Sometimes I do on case-to-case basis, but...
Could it be a problem for a private school educator? In public school, you know that you're facing kids that need the gospel.
Yeah.
but could be taken for granted that, well, they're in Christian school.
Yes.
We do not provide the gospel, but yet they do need it. And we,
yes.
I don't say, you as educator will probably take it for granted when you shouldn't.
I think
it almost seems
that
might be an issue.
Yeah, I did that probably before, where I maybe expected too much out of, or maybe I expected them to know better when maybe they didn't.
Would that be a problem with a parent as well?
Oh, yeah.
Sending their children to a private school, a Christian education, yeah, thinking that that's going to take care of the gospel, exactly, presentation to them.
You assume too much.
Yeah, that might be a problem as well that we can face.
That's easy to do.
Yeah, eat very easy. Okay. All right, guys. Option number three, homeschooling. There's a case for homeschooling. Scripture places on parents the ultimate responsibility for a child's education. Public schooling fails to utilize a Christian philosophy of education, and many Christian schools do not live up to their high standards. So this option, at least for this article and the author, not always, but it says it's the best choice to homeschool. So the case for formal education is one aspect of a larger integrated discipleship process, a responsibility that belongs to parents. Another case for is parents can be flexible in the educational environment they create and in how best instruct their children. Homeschooling takes responsibility for education back from the state and returns it to the family. Another case is that they have more time together. And they are incorporating worldview into our children's instruction and was important to us. Choosing their curriculum enables us to do so. So they are able to pretty much control all aspects of their education in a homeschooled environment. Any other cases for those that homeschool? Many? The list is long. Any other cases for homeschooling?
Well, yeah, you have the opportunity to interact with your child, understand the advantages of how they learn, and when you're out in the world, you can use that. You can help your child to use that with their career that they choose or with the people that they meet, their influences. You understand your child from head to toe, and you can help them better in the future.
Yeah.
You can slow it down. You have the tempo. You have the ability to manipulate, you know, we were talking about before, you have the ability to manipulate the curriculum, so to speak. Figure out your kids' weak points and how do I hone in on those weak points. Hone in on their the weaknesses and their strengths. The day is not as long. I mean, typically with a homeschool day, you could probably be done in like 2.5 hours, 2 hours. What do you do with the rest of that day? Let's go to the museum. Let's go do some extracurricular activities. Let's go broaden your horizons in different avenues. Let's go to NASA. You know, let's go to the Space Center and, you know, go do that. Your day is endless. You have limitless possibilities.
Okay.
There's no limit as to what you can do with your kid in a homeschool environment. But you have to be devoted to your kid, though, too.
You have to be devoted. You have to have the time.
You can't be passive about it. I've come across parents who are frustrated or, I'm going to take my kid out and put him in homeschool. Okay? You know what that technically means, though. Like, are you prepared,
right,
for what that means? Because I think you're just saying it just because you're just frustrated with just this one English teacher.
Right.
Are you prepared for what that's about to, you know, consume out of you?
Yeah.
And you're not. You're gonna have your kid back with us in the fall.
Everybody else is doing it, so I'm going to do it too.
Right.
You know, one of the things that I read here is we are responsible for our child's education. And it takes wisdom to say, well, maybe I'm not equipped. I'm a single parent, but hey, I'm going to figure it out and do it in the evenings for about an hour and a half. Well, that might not work for you. That's not a wise choice in your child's education. If you have the funds, then maybe the Christian school is a better part. Or I don't have the funds and I don't have the time, but I'm not going to send him to public school if he's not getting an education, because they'll ruin him with the secular view. that might not be a wise decision either, because ultimately I have to make what's the right decision for their education. And all three are just going to have to be decisions that you put before the Lord in prayer and how best it fits for each individual case. Your child does need to be educated, whether a public school, a Christian school, or a homeschool. Now let's go over some of the cases again. So, I mean, obviously there are some that we hear about all the time that we are familiar with, but we'll go over them again. The case against homeschooling: parents may not have the education they need to prepare their children to succeed academically. We were talking about this earlier. You know, Andy said here in Houston, there's many options, there's many resources. But when we talk about just the whole view of it in a rural area or somewhere that it's not Houston, what do we do? What do we do with a parent that only received a sixth grade education? And I don't have somebody to rely on to teach the calculus, to teach the algebra, to teach good English. Maybe English is not even their first language, but yet they have to learn it. Grammar. You guys have seen some of my emails. Horrible grammar. But these are things that we have to be aware of. If we are going to homeschool, are we equipped and do we have the resources to do that? Or are you in the mindset, I'm going to homeschool, there's nothing else I want to do, but yet you do not even engage to get equipped? And I've seen that happen as well. We're in Houston, but we're not going to engage. We're going to do the hour and a half, but that's it. There is no more museum visits. There is no National Geographic show about world history. We're done. We did our hour and a half because they really just checked off the list. That could be a problem with a lot of homeschooling if you do not put your it's for you guys that homeschool that have the experience with that. You're all in. You can't go halfway. So that's one of the dangers. When you feel that you're not prepared, and you know, I'll say this, there are some parents that are not prepared because they're not willing to continue to engage. They just want the easy way out of saying, I homeschool and I'm here and that's it. You know, again, what's the case against? Again, homeschooling is schools provide expert interaction beyond what parents can provide. Yes. I mean, again, if you do homeschooling right, you can interact with all kinds of people. But that's the key, right? You have to interact. You have to find them. Well, in the public school or in the private school, it's pretty much there. It all depends on what schools you go to. Here's the one that I was talking about earlier that I think we all are familiar with, the case against homeschooling. This isolation from the culture can hinder the church's mission in the world and lead the family into a clannish mentality. You know, one of the knocks on homeschool is, and homeschoolers, I've seen people wear this, is antisocial. You know, just no social interaction or experience. And you guys can chime in. Not in your families, but in general, is there a sense of just not being able to socialize with somebody outside of the Christian faith or outside of the church for those that may homeschool? Is it accurate to say that the case against is a clannish mentality from a homeschool child?
I would say that was my first knock on it. Just thinking of, you know, stereotypes of what you've heard before, that your kids are going to be antisocial. I mean, if you look at the grander landscape now, most kids are antisocial because they do all of their conversating on an electronic device. They don't talk to anybody anymore. And if they do talk to you, they don't look at you. They look at the ground, looking at the ceiling. You know, they already have that antisocial mentality already, and this is a public school kid. And so, as a homeschool parent, you can manipulate the social aspect for your kid. Mm-hmm. And you can do fellowships with people that you go to church with, your own family members, with friends that you have. You can create those social aspects if you want. That part is unlimited to you.
Yeah.
Of course, you have to put in forth the effort to create those aspects.
I think that's important. Mm-hmm. You do create them for your children.
Yes.
so that they learn to respect others and they can get taught by others and whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully they can have a good relationship with someone who's old, you know, with older folks that
yes.
are in your church or in your neighborhood, wherever, or, you know, you can give them those experiences, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. You know, to finish, we talked about pros and cons, three different options. But as we read it, I think the common denominator, it's not so much the environment. It's the heart of the children and the involvement of the parent. Because as we read in Deuteronomy and Ephesians, it's up to us to train and teach our children. Parents should remember that rebellion stems from the heart, not so much the option that you choose. Is that it's a result of sin nature we're all born with, and it's not the product of the student's environment. A child struggling with rebellion against religion will fight that battle whether in a conventional Christian school, public school, or a home school. Christians understand that every home is a church. It's a government and a school. It's all there in your household under your roof. The first church, the first government, and the first school that a child will come to know is in your home. The duty of Christian parents to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord cannot be delegated to anyone else. It cannot be given to the state, cannot be given to the schools, and it cannot be given to the church. It is our responsibility as parents. As parents, we have to choose wisely what is best for our children, what is best for our home. And to think that my children will be saved because of one option over the other would be foolish. For our children are all little walking sinners that need the gospel regardless of where they're at. With this, you know, we just have to be wise and make the decisions that best fits our families, knowing that it is our duty. It is our duty to instruct that worldview to them. Any final thoughts, comments? Our questions. Yes, Christy. Yes.
Because homeschooling, we had been thinking about it for a while, and I was just kind of always iffy. And then we talked to my son about it, and so he was on a field trip like a few weeks ago, and his teacher had mentioned to me, she was like, "So Evan kind of mentioned that y'all are thinking about homeschooling." And I was just like, "I can't believe he told you that." And she was like, "Well, I just want to be honest with you." She was like, "I think you should do it." And it shocked me, the fact that she said that. Because she told me, like, separate from everyone else, she was like, "One, it depends on the type of student you have, and it depends if the parent's going to be involved." And she's like, "And unfortunately, your son's not being challenged enough." And I was just like, completely in shock. She was like, "It can take one student to hold me back from teaching my curriculum." And I was just like, "Oh my gosh." So I was just thankful that she was honest with me and that she showed that to me.
Yeah.
And that just really helped me to go in the other direction.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome that she said that.
Yeah, she's only a year older than me, and I've always had, like, good communication with her. So I feel like that communication and that, like, relationship I have with her led her to be, like, honest with me at the end of the school year.
Yeah.
There's definitely a big push. If you look at it in the graph, I mean, you'll see the homeschooling trend going up a lot more lately, where before it would be frowned upon, like, "You homeschool, you're weird." But now it's becoming more
and more.
It's
not only, not necessarily only Christian believers are homeschooling nowadays, just because of the education system,
the deterioration of the education system. Yeah.
And people are starting to realize that schools are only teaching just to pass a test.
Just enough to get by.
Just enough to pass the test. And then the test that they pass in general doesn't necessarily mean that you're smart. If the passing score is 57...
Well, they can pass with a 52 or whatever it is.
You pass with a 52. Okay, you know, in a general ed class, that means you failed. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Well, my kid passed the star. Okay, so they're the smartest F student?
Yeah.
Okay, that's rah. Good for you.
Hey, my kid went to college, but he doesn't know how to read. Hey, but he went to college.
Right. That's something.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before you, and we are just grateful for this time. may we apply just wisdom and understanding in the decision and how we instruct and teach our children, and the decisions that we take in this the system of education that we choose. Give us understanding, Lord. And we do pray that no matter what we do choose, that you may help us in instructing our children. And we pray that you may continually work in the lives of all those that are under our roofs and that we love and care for. Guide us in this world, O Lord. Guide us in what we choose for our children. For it is in Christ Jesus that we come to you and we ask these things. Amen.